today on A Word to Live By.
We have a God. He lives in us. He's the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead us. He wants to tell us the way to go. He wants to speak to us in great and mighty ways, and even in simple ways and simple things. Just the whisper of God to hear. Just to hear and to do and to walk after.
What do we do when we hear from the Spirit of God? How do we respond? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how God speaks and how we need to respond in today's message, Responding to the Spirit of God.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for A Word to Live By.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, be faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who rule them while he dwells. In you I rest, in you I find my hope, in you I trust. You never let me go, I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow for God, love's purest joy is restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. In you I rest, in you I find my hope, in you I trust, you never. Within your hands alone, be still, my soul. In you I rest, in you I find my hope, in you I trust. You never let me go, I place my life within your hands. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul.
Thank you, Megan. It's Megan Pittman. Probably one of my favorite songs, favorite hymns of all time. And I was reflecting this week of just how hard it has been for me to be still in my life. I'm not a very still person. I mean, I'm pacing right now, right? And one of the things that I know that over the past few years, we came through a really difficult season in our lives, our family. I just had hard times trying to find peace. You know, and I know I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every one of us, when we're going through uncertainty and things that are hard, it is just hard to be still and find peace. Is that not right? I mean, it is. And it can be difficult going through rough spots. And this hymn means so much to me because I think about this whole thought of God wanting to come into our hearts and lives and give us this peace that we're all longing for from the day we came into this world. This God wants to come in and give us this peace. And for me, this hymn is kind of like an agreement with that. Be still and know that I'm God, right? Be still. He is in control. He's the God that when he dwelt below, he's the same God that told storms to be still. The storm obeys the voice of God. And God, the storm, whatever may be going on in your life today, can be hushed and stilled by our great God. Now, that doesn't mean that circumstances might change. But what's great is that your heart changes, your life changes, your soul changes. And it's something that has meant so much to me that kind of brings us to this hour, brings us to, at least me, to this moment of just this message that I want to speak to you about on the Holy Spirit. Because as we've been looking the last couple of weeks about the power of the Holy Spirit and the resource that he is, I mean, folks, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He is God. He comes into your life to change you, to settle you, to equip you, to lead you into all truth. He sends his Spirit to convict you. A lot of times we don't like to hear that word, but the reason why we're sometimes, the chaos may be so great in our lives is because of sin and wrong choices, and so the Holy Spirit would come and convict you, so I'll stop doing that which I'm doing and allow the Spirit of God to come in and to move in my life in very significant ways. When I think about coming off of our prayer initiative and the Lord's Prayer, you don't have to turn here to Scripture yet, but in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus is instructing us on prayer, and he says in verse 9, I'm saying to you, keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and it'll be opening to you. For everyone who's asking is receiving, and he who's seeking is finding, and him who is knocking, it'll be open. And suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He'll not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And oh, when you look at that last phrase in this great teaching on prayer, you come to understand that it's just God that I'm asking for. It's just God. It's just the Holy Spirit that I'm asking for. It's the Holy Spirit that I'm saying, I need you. I need you this hour. Now, why in the world would we do that if we know that we have the Holy Spirit? Well, why would Jesus ask us to ask for bread if we know he's going to provide for us, right? Or lead us not in temptation when we know that God is going to lead us through great things. I think it's these prayers are just us lining ourselves up to who God is and what God is already intending to do. It's our spirit, it's our soul, it's our mind, it's our heart that's just getting under this authority of who God is and what he says that he intends to do in our lives. And listen, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, and if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you this today. I get up and I go through my day and I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. God, I need your Spirit. You send him in a fresh new way. I need him. We talked the last few weeks about when the Spirit of God comes, what does he do? And I just mentioned just a moment ago, he'll convict us of our sin. Well, the question is how will we respond when we're convicted? When you're convicted of something that you're doing or some attitude that you're possessing and that you're walking through, and it's not a fun attitude and it's not fun for you and it's not fun for anybody else around you. And somehow the Holy Spirit might come and just give this word to you. Hey, son, hey, daughter, your attitude is wrong. And it is. It's stinking up everywhere you go. Or there's sin in your life, or there's a bitterness or anger or a lust issue or a greed issue. And the Holy Spirit comes. What does he do? The Bible says in John chapter 16, I believe it is, that he will, when he comes, verse 8, he's going to come and he's going to convict the world concerning sin. And I ask the question, when the Spirit comes and convicts me of sin, what do I need to do? Well, if you want to find stillness for your soul, you want to find a settling in your heart, just confess and agree with God that you've sinned or that you've messed up. Or that you have a bad attitude. It's that simple. The response to the Holy Spirit is just obedience. And when the Spirit says to us, listen, this is wrong, and you know it, and you know it through the Word, and by the way, you know all that the Spirit says is through the Word of God. You're part of the Word. The Word's in your life, and that's why we say, are you in your Word today? Are you in your Bible today? Are you growing in it? Are you living on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Will you read your Bible in the morning or in the evening? Will you read it? Will you study it? Will you embrace it? Will you believe it? But when the Spirit of God comes and he convicts me of something, I need to agree with God that I've sinned. Now listen, I want to say this because it's really, really important. Because it kind of follows along with this. Has anybody in here been confronted by a friend about maybe something that's been going on? Let me ask you a question. How did you respond? Did you get offended? Did you immediately get offended and think, how dare you? How did you respond to that? Were you offended, defensive? Or was there something in your heart that said, hey, listen, I don't want to be judged and I don't want to be called out and I don't want my children to be called out. But God, if there's something in my heart, something in our heart, something in our lives that doesn't need to be there, God, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. I want to hear it so I can make the appropriate decision and the appropriate choices. And you know, there's some things that we go through life and we're misunderstood and our children are misunderstood. I mean, I know that I and many areas of my life and many relationships have been misunderstood. No, that's not my heart. That's not what I was thinking. That's not how I was, that's not what I meant. But listen, if somebody sees something and they don't tell me or they don't come to me, what good is that? What good is that? And so what I'm saying is that when something comes along and somebody says something or the Spirit of God uses that person to say something, what I want to say is just listen to that. Just listen, just be open. It's never 100%, but I want to tell you, if it's 5%, I want the 5% out of my life. I want it. As I said last week, conviction is a good thing. It exposes who we are. It exposes what we're not. And we have the opportunity when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us to expose us of whatever, then you know what I get to do? I have a choice. I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to say to God and maybe even to that person, you know what? You're right. There's some things in this that I don't know and I don't understand and maybe I don't agree with, but you know what? You're right. I want to listen to you. I want to hear what you're saying because you know what? I want to get better. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better grandfather. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better friend. Because I tell you, when we get better at that, and when I mean better by becoming like more like Jesus, everyone profits. Everyone's blessed. When I get better as a supervisor in my job or whatever I do, when I get better in the ways that I walk in this life, the people that I supervise, it's best for them. When I become a better dad, it's great for my children. And so conviction is not a bad thing. The question you've got to ask, I've got to ask is this, am I an offendable person? Or am I open? You know, I want to say this because I believe that conviction's a good thing. Matter of fact, it's the way you came to Christ. You were convicted of your sin and your need for a Savior, a need for the Lord. You had to get to this place that you knew that you were lost, that you were separated from God. In that separation, you were on your way to hell. And there had to be a conviction that you were lost to ever reach out to the Savior who wants to save you from your lostness. Very important. When God says, when God comes to me, just agree. I'm going to just agree with him. You're right. I want you to go to Luke chapter 18. It's just right there in the neighborhood of the Bible. Luke chapter 18. It's how you came to Christ. You were convicted of your sin. Verse 9 says he was told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. And the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I'm thanking you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a swindler. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me. It's me. I'm the one. I'm the one that needs you. Not that guy, not that woman, not that man, not that boy, not that girl, not that country, not that group of people. Lord, it's me who need you. I need you. I need a Savior. And the Bible says, I tell you, that this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Conviction brings a point to my heart when I came to Christ and I confess, I'm it, I'm the sinner, I'm the one, I need change. And I came to Christ. If you're here today and you've never come to Christ, and you've never had, if you're here today and you've never had a sort of experience like that, where you are broken, and when you come to an end of yourself to say, it's me, it's nobody else's fault, I'm lost because of my sin. If you've never had that, you've exalted yourself. And I just want to say, I don't think you know Christ. There has to be a conviction. And when I walk in this life to become more like Christ, to be a better man, a better husband, a better dad, a better granddad, a grandfather, a better pastor, a better friend, or a better fill in the blank, I got to know where I'm lacking. Because sometimes I have blind spots just like you and me. Conviction's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing. You know, the second thing that we talked about last week, we talked about how the Spirit of God leads us. And so when you're led by the Spirit, the question is what do I do? I just follow. I just follow Him. I follow hard after Him. The question that I wanted to ask today is what does that really look like, to follow Him? Go to Isaiah chapter 30 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 30. And notice verse 18, if you will. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Chapter 30, verse 18 of Isaiah says, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. He's the God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him. O people in Zion, inhabitant of Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When He hears it, He'll answer you. And although He's given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, will no longer hide Himself. But your eyes will behold your teacher. Your eyes will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And this is what you'll do. You'll define your graven images overlaid with silver, your molten images plated with gold. You'll scatter them as an impure thing, and you'll say to those things, be gone. And then He'll give you rain for the seed, for which the snow, and you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it'll be rich and plenteous. On that day, your livestock will graze in roomy pasture. He'll go on and He'll talk about the benefits of hearing God and being led by His Spirit. But what I love about this is that God comes along, the Holy Spirit in your life comes along, and He says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. When I was young, we got the opportunity to go snow skiing in Colorado. And my very first trip up there, I was about eighth grade, maybe ninth, and I was learning to ski and powder. And I was up on this mountain on a little green slope coming down, and I was hearing behind me, "Go right, go right, go right. Okay, now go straight, go straight, go straight. All right, now go left, go left. All right, now go right, go left, go left." And I just continued to hear this. And I looked up at the mountain, and there was this little girl, and she was blind. And she had their little vest on that said that she was a blind skier. And she had her instructor behind her saying, "Go to the right, go to the left, go to the right, go to the left." And this little girl who was blind, she must have been 6 years old, maybe 7 years old. She was skiing down that slope, and she was doing better than me. She didn't fall. She didn't tumble. But she was blind, and she couldn't see in front of her. And she knew how to do her little legs. And she knew how to put the weight on one leg and the weight on the other leg. And this instructor behind him said, "Hey, let's go to the right. Go to the right. Now go straight. You're doing great. You're doing wonderful. Oh, you're skiing." And the joy on her face. The joy on her face. Why? Listen, if the guy said behind her, "Go to your right," and she said, "No, I'm going to my left," and she hits a rock or she hits a tree or she hits something else. Disaster. And she wouldn't be smiling. And she wouldn't be skiing. We have a God. He lives in us. He's the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead us. He wants to tell us the way to go. He wants to speak to us in great and mighty ways. And even in simple ways and simple things. Just the whisper of God to hear. Just to hear and to do. And to walk after. In this season that I was in that was really, really hard, 4-year season, maybe three, you know, one of the things that took place in my life as I was coming out of that season, you know, my birthday's coming up, and at my birthday, I always think about my year before and the year ahead, and I'll get a new journal, and I'll write down some goals, and I'll think about the goals of the past, and what are the goals of the future, and just what could God do. And 1 year, I just felt prompted. "I don't want you picking up another journal. You just keep your journal here. Don't get a new one. Don't do the goals. Don't do that." And I asked God to do two. I said, "God, I want to do four things. I want to see my life accomplish four things in these next years. Number one, I want to thank you. I want to be found thanking you for everything. Good, bad, ugly, not good, good, beautiful. I want to thank you. I want that to be my default button, to thank you for everything. To thank you in everything." And I began that journey. And then the second thing I asked is, "God, I want to be able to confess you as Lord in every circumstance." It was very similar to the one that I just said, you know, about thanking God, but it had meaning. I was saying, "God, I thank you for this. You're a Lord. You're a Lord of my life. You're a Lord of this hour. You're a Lord of this moment. You're a Lord in this situation right now. As bad, as hard as it is, I thank you for it. I thank you in it. And God, I say, you are Lord." The third thing that I asked that I would do is that I would be able to love very well in those situations that were hard. The hard situations, just to love. Now, it's easy to love God and to love your neighbor when things are going great. It's easy to love your husband when he's doing good, right? But when it's bad, it's hard. And I said, "God, I want to love you well. Just whatever, when it's good, when it's bad, I want to love my neighbor well." And I walked in that. I tried to walk in that. And the fourth thing that I asked, I just want to be led by your Spirit. I don't want to be led by my flesh. I don't want to be led by man. I want to be led by the Spirit of the living God. And I've been on a 3-year journey on this, on these four things that have meant so much to me. Would y'all come on up here for a moment? Yeah, both of you. Yeah. I introduced to you them earlier. You know, they have two kids. Up and down relationship, been hard. He's been struggling with things. They've been struggling together. And I asked him if I could share, but I'm not going to get too detailed here. And I knew that I needed to go see him. And so, Holy Spirit. And so I got in the car. We met at Proctor Store. And we sat down and we began to talk and visit. And she was in the car. And I didn't know she was here. I didn't know she was there. And so as I began talking, as clear, and listen to this, when I share faith, I don't always do it the same way, but as clear as it was, I felt the Spirit of God tell me to ask this man, if he were to die today, would he know for sure that he'd go to heaven if he died? Now, I don't always ask that, but I ask that. Now, when times I've asked that, I get all kinds of answers. Well, there's only two answers, yes or no, but you know. Some hesitancy, all kinds of hesitancy. And you know what he said immediately? No, I don't. Isn't that right? No, I don't. I do not know. And I probably wouldn't go to heaven. And I just asked this other question. Would you like to know how to know God? And know for sure. Shared the gospel with him and right there, prayed to receive Christ. Yeah, just prayed to receive Christ. Amen. Well, before long, we're talking, and we're talking about some things, and talking about first things. We're talking about how, needs of a wife, and I was in the middle of that, and then she comes in. And I said, he's just received Christ, and I don't know. I don't know if you knew what I was talking about, because she looked like a deer in the headlight, right? And she didn't know, and immediately, ask her the same question. And immediately, she said no. And I shared with her. It was so special about sharing that day. You know, is that when I didn't even get to the decision point, and she just started weeping, and it was like, you know, you just knew that she was being born again right there. She didn't have to pray a prayer. She didn't have to do anything. God was touching her. She was believing it, and God was doing a work. And so right there at Proctor on 9/11, this couple gives their heart to Christ. And you know, And I just want to say this. There's times that I've gone to appointments and I've not asked those kind of questions. I've not even witnessed that. I just didn't think it was the right time. But I tell you, when you hear the Spirit of God, you know that you know that you know. And I want to tell you, that's how I want to live. That's how I want to live my life. That's how I want to lead our church. That's how I want to lead our staff and our elders, by the promptings of God that line up to what Scripture says and what Scripture says not, what it says and what it says not, and to move, and to know that every one of us can have this great opportunity to hear the Spirit of God and to obey Him when He says to do whatever. It may be today that God is prompting you in any area of life. And you'll know what I'll say to you. I'll say to you, get up and go do that. Get up and go do that. And I want to say to this couple, and I'm going to say it on behalf of this body, we're going to support you guys. We're going to be accountable to you. We're going to have people in your life. And we make that promise to you today. And I know there's some people in here right now saying, and I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be one of the lay. I'm going to be one of the guys. We're going to be one of the couples. Yeah, that's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God working in our midst. And I just want to say this. Let's do what the Spirit of God is telling us to do. And you say, what is that? Well, I want to tell you, you already know. If you've had any time in Christ, you already know that the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God is asking you to do. The Spirit of God comes into your life to convict you and to lead you into all truth. And He comes to equip you. He comes to equip you to be the witness and the influence, to be the witness of Christ, whether it's to the ends of the earth or right in your own home, to give witness of the saving grace of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How will we leave this place? I pray in the name of Jesus that we will leave following the Spirit of the living God.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life. Or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.